You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm learning it all the time.
Yeah, excellent. So, welcome to the show, guys. We're running a little late. Alan Lee's not going to be here tonight. Rosie Tran's going to take his place as co-host, and she's not here, but the guest is.
The guest is here. Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I came yesterday, though, so I was really...
Oh, here's the co-host, and she's running in. Okay. Hey, Rosie.
Hey.
Excellent. We were just saying how the guest is here before the co-host. This is awesome.
It's all right. Hi, I'm
Greg. I was right behind you, Greg.
Oh, you were?
I was like, Greg!
You did?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Greg.
But how did we get, like, you were behind me in my car while walking?
Walking.
How did we get so separated?
Because I'm slow and I was really far behind.
Okay. I got lucky with an elevator, too. Yeah. I got in, there was an elevator going up. Turns out it was going straight up to the same.
Well, the parking on this one was so weird because, like, usually they let us park, but, like, the guy's new or something. He's like, you can't park here. I was like, I'm here every week. He's like, you can't park here. I was like, what?
So, yeah. Yesterday, like, he said, what's a podcast? Yeah. I'm not going to go ahead and just park out here on the street. I feel like this whole thing feels bad, and I may not be able to get my car back when I come back down.
So Gray came here yesterday.
Oh!
Yeah. How was yesterday?
It was good.
Yeah. For a different podcast?
No. For this podcast.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't read all of my correspondences, or I get pieces of it in my head, and then I think, well, I'm close. Maybe I'll just go. Maybe this is... I know you had surgery.
So you were really early.
Oh, is that surgery is what I had? I knew it was something fun. I knew it was something that would be good. So, yeah.
Greg, I think I opened for you one time at Brea.
I don't doubt that.
Did you ever feature I think you were featuring for Dave Attell, but then you like headlined the Thursday night or something?
Oh, was it? That was in Irvine.
Irvine. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was after a sort of an... I had been headlining, and I had a freak out on stage in New York, and called my managers and said I don't want to be on the road anymore, because at the time I was very popular for a book that I'd written, and the crowds were all people that wanted to hear about the book, and I don't.
Is it?
He's just not that into you.
Yeah.
So the crowds were all women, and they wanted to hear
relationship advice.
Up until that book, I had never written any, and it wasn't the book was sort of an anomaly. So anyway, long story short, I flipped out on a bachelorette party one night, and I was like, they have every there's no reason for me to. Well, the girl was not a good person, but she just kept talking. I was just trying to, and like, she didn't like my act, and it was fine. But I tried to get her to be quiet. And what's the language?
You can say whatever you want.
I said,
I just get fined. It's cool.
All right, well, let's just put a number out there. I'm not going to go, let's just put a number. Let's put, like, you know, $700 worth of fucks.
It's cool, because I whatever. Oh.
this woman just kept talking, and you know, like, when there's somebody talking in the crowd, nobody pays any attention. So, and it is 20 years to the day that I've started stand-up. So I've been doing stand-up for 20 years on this day. So Thursday nights in Caroline's in New York, it's almost sold out. I say to this woman, are you a fan of my books? And she said, yes. And I said, have you read my book, Please Shut Up, so that the rest of us can enjoy our fucking evening? And that didn't go well at all. So then I went to the other side of the room, and I did this other, there were these people that seemed more, they were just seemed high, but they were looking in the right direction. So I went and stood in front of them. And then I did this big bit that I do about magic, and she didn't enjoy it. And she went, boo. And I turned around and I walked over and I said, fuck you. really quietly. Like not like you when you see a guy flip out on stage, but like that mannered, like right in her face.
Yeah.
I go,
I'm about to snap.
I am snapping. This is snapping. This is me, you know, like I would say, in that moment I'm losing. I've lost control. She's won, but it's going to feel
but
like
in a
I've
bad
won.
Way.
Yeah, because I'm going to say to her, I hate you. You're a bad person. You have a black heart. Yeah. And some other thing. And then she started crying And then that was weird. And then I didn't know. Then I didn't know because I didn't have a plan after fuck you. I didn't have a plan after I told her she was a horrible person where I was going with it. So I don't ever, I never do that.
Right.
And then she pulled the book out and then she started saying, I was seeing this guy and now we're not together. And she was crying, but she had a kind of, I mean, voice was like this. It was kind of, it was pretty, but she didn't, her voice was not empathetic. And then she snorted. It was just like a thing. And she said, no, I'm alone or whatever. And the guy.
I thought she was part of the bachelorette party.
She was with the, yeah, but she was not the bachelorette.
Oh, okay. I was like, you made the bride cry.
The bachelorette was just like mortified. Like, oh my God, how is this my bachelorette party?
It sounds like my ex-girlfriend.
Which one?
No, this lady. Yeah. That's why I broke up with her. I was like, you made Greg have a meltdown. It's over.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I think I did you a favor.
Yeah.
I was like,
this is my favorite comic. You're doing this to him.
Oh my God! But he's not being that. He's funnier than this usually.
He just doesn't do relationship jokes.
Yeah, this weird, like he's now a murderer in a movie thing, talking like this. So she finally said something like, "I'm alone" or whatever. And a guy stood up across the rooms in New York. A guy stood up and he goes, "Well, no wonder nobody will fuck you." And the crowd kind of laughed. And then I was like giving him the fuck, dude, don't, but also thank you. You know, like, the cut sign, but also, oh, dude.
Come back Thursday.
Oh, my God. Tour manager. And then this other guy goes, "Hey, I'll fuck her." And then the place went wild. And I just said, thank you, good night. So I went back to my the green room and called my manager and said, I can't, you know, I have this thing that I'm super popular for and I'm grateful for it, but I don't know how to do stand-up around it, and people come and they're disappointed, and I've been doing stand-up for 20 years and that's what I really want to do, and I couldn't make them meet, so I quit. I just was like, take me off the road. And then I asked him, could I go open for people? Could I just go feature for people with comedy audiences? Like, I'm happy to go. I don't even have to get paid, but could I go? And so the first two they got me were Patton, who I've known for a long time, Bettitel, who I knew a little bit. And that weekend was awesome. It was like nobody even knew who I was, so they didn't care. They had no expectation. And I could just do whatever I wanted. And
so I think I met you then.
I'll have a 30-minute story to everything you say, and then we'll be done.
That's how Rosie met you.
So I met you at that show.
That's right. And we had a good time. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. We did have a good time.
So great. Here's the second question. Was Rosie funny?
Yes.
He doesn't remember. He doesn't even remember me.
I can't imagine if
he doesn't even remember me.
I can't imagine. Well, I'll be honest. I don't remember that particular night. It would be, you know.
I'm glad it was Irvine, because when I opened for Dave at Brea, I had horrible sets. I don't know why.
That's when Dave said,
did Dave ask you to open for him?
Yeah.
Well, then you must be good.
Yeah.
He actually told me to stop opening for him. But in a good way.
I think he. He said to stop, like something you were doing.
No. He cornered me and he said, "You're too funny to be opening." You need to. And he said, "Stop being a crutch." And he said that he spent 10 years of his career in comedy hell because he was too scared to go off on his own. And it was very, very sweet. And I was like, "Oh." I was like, thank you, but also I don't want to lose work.
Right.
You know, Norm actually just did that to me last week. I've been with Norm for about 4 years. And you know,
Norm McDonald.
Yeah.
He's a peach.
He's like my comedy dad, and I was supposed to do Vegas with him this week, and he said, you're not doing Vegas, you know, and like it like hurt me, you know, but like he said compliments about it, you know what I mean? I was like, and it was time to move on, so I called Greg.
Yeah, we're going to be working together. I just have to get work, but as soon as I do, you're my man.
Yeah. Room of unemployed comics.
I know. I actually.
You're doing Irvine Improv.
I've got the Irvine. Yeah, it's already booked. That was Fallout.
I call
myself my career Fallout Boy or Hal Sparks canceled. And that is not derisive towards Hal. That is just
But Greg, I just want you to know, if I was at that gig with you when you said, "Have you read that book?" Shut the fuck up. I would have been like, you know, with the moment awkward, I would have been like, "That's your best book."
Dude, thank you. It's concise. We put the answers on the cover. You don't have to go inside. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up. Why are you talking?
Be quiet. Let people laugh.
I would love it if somebody wrote a self-help book for audiences.
Yeah.
Like how to, like how to be an audience. Like if you're going to a club for the first one
page.
Time, here's what you don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Shut up.
Turn off your cell phone. Shut up unless you're laughing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's weird to me if somebody's talking and you're, why would you be on your phone into a microphone? Anytime yeah. someone's talking to a microphone, unless it's happening at, like, unless it's come to you like a protest.
Right.
But if you've gone to the microphone, if you've paid to sit near the microphone, it feels like you should shut up now.
Yeah, like right? you shouldn't. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not super offended if it's someone that looks like they're 18, but if it's like a 40-year-old mom, I'm like, okay, you know better.
Right.
And
right.
she's like on her phone. If it's like someone that looks like a millennial, that looks like they're 19 or something, I'm like, I'll make fun of them, but it's not that big of a deal. But if it's a mom and she's sitting in the front row like texting and on her phone, you're like, lady, come
I
on.
I even mind it as long as it doesn't go with talking.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like, if they're talking. If they're not into it, yeah. fair enough. That's, I can't. What am I supposed to... Like, you didn't get up and walk out. You're not calling. You're not yeah. Maybe you're texting the manager, but you're not going... You know, like, you're not making a big deal.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Speaking of texting, I got to ask you this because we were just talking about
it. Yeah.
Greg was going to tell me some what text messages mean according to his daughter, and I actually need to know this because I have Asperger's, so I don't know what, like... So you said K means they're mad
so
at you?
So my daughter said if somebody... Okay, if somebody reads your text, and because everyone knows whether you've read your text or not, which I...
Wait, how can you tell that?
There's a check mark.
Well, or like on an iPhone, it'll say read.
Oh, yeah, I know that about on an iPhone. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But there are places like... I don't know. I'm not on Snapchat, but apparently like in Snapchat, you can tell if somebody's looked at it or not. And,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. So anyway... So obviously, if you've read something and not responded, that's bad. And then okay. if you respond, my daughter said, if you respond with just K, that means you're not okay with it. It's like a passive. It's
like a passive aggressive.
Hey, okay. Right. I guess. K. But two K's is two K's as opposed to okay, I suppose. But which it must be.
So two K's is good.
KK is good. Yeah.
Okay. And then KKK is racism.
And then KKK is yeah. So just for right. white people or black people. No, listen, this is how I swing with the Klan.
Right.
KKK.
Because it got me worried because my dad always responds in K and my mom always responds me in KK. So as long as my mom likes me.
Right.
So I'm good there.
Oh man, I feel old. I still put okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't.
Okay.
Is okay still? Is that like too old person?
Are either both of you single?
Yeah.
I'm married.
Single.
You're married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been married?
7 years.
Okay. So
but we're about to break this marriage up in 30 minutes.
Yeah. My new book actually is called How to Keep Your Marriage from Fucking.
Stop. Relationship books.
I know. I can't help. I know.
You're like, I wrote this book, and now I can't do material, but I only want to do stand-up. I wrote another one.
Right. That is called bipolar. that is a guy who creates a problem for himself that he can't get out of, that he created, that he can't get out of, that he created, but he can't get out of it. He created it. Yeah. Well, I happen to be good at it. I just don't want to do stand-up about it.
Okay.
It's not... I find that it is unless you're being really broad about it, which isn't interesting, it's a really sensitive subject for people. And so it's better to be funny about it in the context of it being real as opposed to being, just making fun of it or, saying, because usually have either of you seen Hannah Gadsby's special?
No.
I haven't, but I keep seeing the billboard and I'm like, ooh,
it's
what
unreal.
Is
if
is
you're
it?
A comic, it's a must. Yeah. And she talks
Nanette?
About the Nanette, which is what she named the show for no reason. She goes, I didn't have a name for my show. In Australia, where she's from, I've toured with her. In Australia, where she's from, you do shows and you do festivals. So you write a new hour every year. And
for Montreal?
Well, this is the Melbourne International Comedy
Festival.
Yeah,
and yeah.
those festivals are all over Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you have to do new hour because they keep seeing you every year. And they yeah.
Right, and they put you in a theater, and they are meant to have kind of a one there's supposed to be sort of a one-person feel about it, although most people are just trying to figure out how their stand-up will work in an hour theme.
Right.
But so she goes, I named mine before I wrote it. It was called Nanette, about this woman I met that I thought would be interesting, and then I forgot all about her, but I kept the name of the show. She's an incredibly, incredibly funny woman, but this special goes beyond.
Yeah.
And it sort of explained to me, like, there's that point in your stand-up sometimes where you go, okay, I've done this for an hour now, and it's kind of fun. It's funny, but nothing has been said, and I'm starting to feel like it's meaning. After a while, you go,
Nothing profound, you mean?
Yeah, profound. Yeah. Just like you're sharing. Like, you came there to share something. You came there for a reason. You're not just there to entertain them. Just so that they. I just want to make sure you laugh for an hour. Just make sure you laugh. Okay, I think for most of us, we feel like there's some other reason I must be doing this, and I want to get to that. But the risk or the way, you know, to do it in a comedy club is hard because people are like, no, I just came for, I'm having nachos also.
Right.
I didn't come for a cry. If I was going to come for a cry, I wouldn't eat this shitty food. I would be sitting in a theater seat.
Have you ever, like, done stand-up with that exact same feeling but more than an hour, and then, like, it, like, goes by, like, 2 hours and 3 hours, and you didn't realize it, and you're like, that was fun. You know what I mean?
I mean, done 3 hours. Have I done 3 hours of
stand-up? Yeah, but, like, you just keep going, but you feel like you're doing an hour.
Well, I mean, I think sometimes, I mean, I have. Yeah. I have a tendency to run a little bit long.
Same here, and when I used to open for her, she used to get mad at me.
For going long.
Yeah.
Why did I get mad at you?
Oh, I have a call. Why do I have a call? Do you want to take calls?
Absolutely, sure.
All right, we'll take calls.
He's like, why do I have a call?
You're on the air. I've never taken calls. Is that what you say?
Hello?
Right.
Is your refrigerator running?
Oh my god.
I got back. That was like my first call in like 5 years. I've been trying to get you for 9 years, and then like you know, it's hard because, you know, Oprah and then The View, and then all of a sudden
how did you try before?
Oh, that's just me.
Oh no, okay, yeah. I was gonna say
I was here yesterday.
I think I got back to you probably like 15 minutes after you wrote me. Hey, yeah, I'm available. I'm around. Is there an open mic? I'd love to go.
Yeah, I've only had this for 2 years, so but
yeah. Yeah, it's
I don't think podcasting was around 9 years ago.
No,
it's like pretty new.
Yeah. I think that
was when it started
around the time it started. Is 9? Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, because you were like one of the first guys who had a podcast.
Oddly enough, right? Yeah. I remember when Dave, my partner at the time, Dave Anthony, was like, we're going to do a podcast. I go, Marin's already doing a podcast. There's already Marin and Pardo. Like, there was only two.
Yeah, there was Marin.
There was Marin.
Dave Anthony from LA Podfest?
Pardo. Yeah. Dave and I had a podcast called Walk in the Room that was...
It was way funnier than this one.
Weird. No, not at all. No,
I loved it.
It was good. I think, ultimately a dangerous podcast for both of us to be in because it was sort of about two guys, one who'd never succeeded and the other one who was failing. This was right after this event with the yelling, and we were doing it in my closet. Yeah. And I was like, I have my own talk show, and now I'm doing a podcast from the closet of my house. Things have changed.
Yeah.
I think it was dirty. Not dirty in a sexist way, just filthy.
Yeah,
like,
just
saying whatever was on your mind.
Yeah,
whatever.
But now, like, it seems like everyone's like all censored now. Like, especially the past 2 years, like it's like, oh, be careful what you say because it's, you know what I mean. But like back then, it's like whatever.
Well, I feel like, you know, back then no one was listening.
Yeah, that's
so.
Yeah.
You were like, look, we're doing what we want, and then people who would find you would be so happy to find you that you would build this sort of hardcore audience that I still sort of have of people that like just love that thing. But then, as always happens, then it becomes a market that's filled with things, and then people go, "Well, I can't just talk.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna do mine about pants." And then there's a, and they go, "Man, how many pants podcasts are there? I love pants. You know, like he just, as I think people do, like, you know. So now it's very niche, and people have like, you know, his Dave's thing that he does now is a history podcast.
Oh, that's cool. The only things I like about history is John Wilkes Booth and JFK.
Both of those are covered. The John Wilkes Booth they did one about that, I think.
I think I have like some weird fascination about people in history who have three names.
And have been in either on one end or the other of assassination?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, like John Wilkes Booth obviously is an assassination, but JFK never was. He was just assassinated.
But he's part of
it.
Right. I was like, I don't think. Yeah.
One was the gifter, and the other one was the receiver.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, like I understand because like I write screenplays, romantic comedy screenplays, and like my stand up, you know, I talk about in my stand up, I mostly talk about having autism and how it's, you know, frustrating sometimes and the beauty of it. I enjoy the romantic comedies, you know what I mean? So I wanted to pitch a thing so we could like sell a movie together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough.
I wanted to do this on air because I don't have a lawyer and
Right. Yeah. We know that this is your idea.
Yeah. And he's also, the witness.
Yeah. And also people know that I am listening to this idea. I'm not going to steal it.
Exactly.
You know, or I'm going to steal it because I wrote part of it. Yeah. You heard it.
Exactly.
And Rosie's cast as the lead.
No, no.
That's a good idea. I like that. See, we're already in a fight.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
But the only thing that, like...
The only way this gets made is because of Rosie. Two white guys with an idea now. It's called gas station attendants, which they had to start letting people sell gasoline because they needed something for us to do.
But the only thing I demand is
#diversity.
The only thing I demand is we have to have John Cusack in it. That's it.
That makes me. Have you watched any of his recent movies?
Yeah,
he does a lot of bandana work.
That's right.
He's undercover.
That's why I think we could get him. So
he also responds on Twitter a lot. He's very active with his Twitter fans.
He never responds to me.
I know. I've seen your tweets. Yeah, do the podcast, John.
I have a weird John Cusack obsession.
I always find that when a woman says that about a guy. Who has a Twitter feed, a lot of times you're like, well, he responds to women.
Do you need me to tweet at him?
Well, you know what it is? It's because, like...
That would be, I think, between your next show, the next time you're on here, you should tweet at him.
He did sit behind me at a play once, and he was wearing base makeup.
Okay, I don't need to know that. Like, I don't have, like, a gay obsession with him. I think he's...
I was just shocked. I was just shocked that he was wearing makeup.
Well, you know, he's been in one of the better romantic comedies of all time.
Yeah.
So,
which one was your favorite?
High Fidelity.
That was great. I like, this is weird, but I like Must Love Dogs.
I haven't seen that.
I don't remember.
I'll have to look it up on Netflix.
Gross Point Blank's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Where he's the
That's
assassin.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Okay, but back to the point. Let me pitch this idea. Okay, so this guy.
Do you want to pitch it on the air?
Yeah.
In case someone, a listener steals it?
We said it
well,
on air,
and
then we could sue them.
Proof of,
yeah, this is genius. Trust me.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Timestamp.
This is why my lawyer fired me.
Wait a minute. He fired you?
Wait, can you even? I don't know. Anyway, here's the thing. So this guy, like, he has Asperger's, right? And he doesn't know, like, he invites a girl up. You know? He's like, hey, you want to have sex? And she's like, no, you know? And he's, like, all weird and stuff. And then, like, he talks to her, like, and we could call it, she's just not into you.
That is the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean,
instead of he, we change it
right,
to she.
Right. I love.
And we take the exact.
Love everything about it. I love everything about it.
Right.
Yeah. Let's get that and turn around.
Exactly.
Let's assign a.
But basically, we could forget Drew Barrymore. We could forget Jen Aniston. We just get John Cusack, you, me, Rosie.
Is John Cusack the person with Asperger's, or is it you?
As long as I have a scene with John Cusack, he can be my lawyer. I don't care. That's just, you could be whatever. You know, you could be the star. I'm just saying.
I didn't do that good a job, and he's just not that into you. I don't know that I.
Let me practice my lines. No, I don't want to have sex with you, Keith. How
I love
was that?
It. I love.
How was that?
Yeah.
Would you cast her?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. She didn't put it too much.
Yeah.
No, Keith.
That's what we need.
No.
She sounds appropriately annoyed, but also like not like it was ever going to happen. Like she doesn't feel threatened.
Wait, does she sound annoyed? I can't tell.
She's a little. Well, no.
Oh.
I'm not going to have sex with you, Keith. Again.
No.
Oh.
Stop asking me.
Yeah.
They always like whenever I ask a girl, they say, "Oh, it's my time of the month." I'm like, okay.
Really?
They always say that, and I think that they all have the time of the month on the exact same day.
I wanted them to make a romantic comedy about a guy that likes a girl and then feels bad about liking her because you're not supposed to and doesn't know how to talk to her and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
It's like in the now, it's in the Me Too thing. Where
Slice
he's
of
like,
Life movie?
He's like, I like her. And it's like, should I go up and talk to her? It's like, that's a reductive thing if you go up and talk to her. Why didn't she come up and talk to you? Well, she doesn't know who I am. Well, what are you going to say to her? Well,
exactly.
Give her a compliment. That's also reductive.
That's demeaning towards women, compliments.
And now you're threatening her. Now you're threatening her life.
Exactly.
And then nobody goes out with anybody.
Yeah. So,
unless you sign a waiver from your attorney that says you have full consent.
That's right.
Unless you fire your attorney. See, I knew we clicked, you know?
Yeah. I bet it's hard to date right now.
Yeah, well,
maybe not. Maybe people don't think about it. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, Rosie, is it hard to date?
I'm married.
She's married.
Oh.
You know my husband.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard to date. Like, it's very hard. But
it's very hard to date when you're going after married women. No, he works in the entertainment industry, but not as a comedian.
Well, can he get Greg a job?
No, yeah.
Well, yeah. He works at DreamWorks.
Oh, see?
What does he do?
Oh. He works in IT.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does he know someone who could get us a meeting to pitch our She's Not Into You?
So he can go pitch. DreamWorks has an unlimited employee pitch program.
Ooh, tell us
so
more.
So he can go pitch, but no. So if I come up with an idea and I write it,
you can pitch as many times as you want.
As many times as you want, whenever you want. But it's part of their, like, keeping it within the family. So if I wrote something and gave it to him to pitch, he could pitch and sell it, but I couldn't go in and pitch. So I would have to just lose the credit.
No, Greg would pitch.
Greg can't pitch.
I can't pitch.
I'm
actually very good at it.
Yeah.
He's probably great, but you can't. It's like you can only pitch if you're in DreamWorks. They have a DreamWorks pitch program.
Oh, the IT guy can go.
The janitor can pitch.
Okay, so we got to find the janitor.
Oh, man, the janitor can pitch.
The janitor can pitch. And it's their way of like keeping it in the family and then giving you.
And do they have like an example of somebody who pitched internally that wasn't like in development?
Yeah. They do. One of his coworkers pitched.
Is he a good janitor?
He's not a janitor. He's another IT guy. He pitched like a short film to them and they bought the concept.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
We got to find us a janitor.
Cool. Yeah. I don't think you're understanding show business. you just can't retitle people's books and get John Cusack. is what I would say to you in the pitch.
Just not that into you. It's a twist that I created.
It's a twist.
Your book.
It's my twist. And also, John Cusack seems undateable now, so it feels like it would work.
Exactly.
It should be pretty good.
Yeah. Here's the movie. John Cusack tries to make a move. I'm offended, and I sue him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then during the court case,
he tweets about how much he hates Trump.
Thank God he's. I just am glad everyone's tweeting. If you tweeted yesterday, you did your part, and we all did our part.
Do you think it's a little too much though?
Like I mean, don't even think it may. I think it is. The more I think about it, the more, and I'm just as guilty of it as anybody else. But I think it's just a gigantic distraction that is people that energy. Somewhere else.
Exactly.
The negative energy towards Trump, you mean?
Yeah, or just your reactions or your understanding of it. I mean, I think there's very, very smart people, but they're spending a lot of time on Twitter. And then I watched that movie yesterday with my kids, the one about the last year, Obama's last year in office. And
what is it called? What is the film called?
Final Year. It's on HBO.
Is it a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary, and they get all access, and they follow members of his cabinet and him around in their very final year. And you see, Trump, you know, well, he's not going to become president.
Right.
And then you see him like, oh my God, he might. And then the night of, there's a at the White House, there's a group of women. Every U.S. woman ambassador comes to watch Hillary win and break the glass ceiling.
Oh my God! And they're just crying in the corner.
They watch their faces, like even the part where like they're kind of being funny about it when he starts to catch up, and they're like, and then all of a sudden it just goes like,
whoa!
Like the air gets sucked out of the room.
It's intense.
And so it's a recommended a good documentary. Like.
It's a good documentary.
Okay, because I like documentaries.
But you see what working in government, like people who really
you
work
need to hold
for
your
change
stomach.
You know, like what it really is, as opposed to like you know ripping a few people apart on Twitter. But I think you know, it's not been good for. I don't know that it's good for anybody. I don't know that all this social media stuff is.
It's getting too. Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's good for anyone. I think people are distracted. All the studies show it makes you more depressed, right?
Yeah. Well, you just have so much more information.
Well, yeah, and I suffer from depression and social media.
Oh
like,
yeah,
it makes
magnifies
it, way
it right
bad. Like, do you know what Reddit is?
Reddit, yeah.
Reddit.
So like, I promote the show on Reddit, and they kicked it out. Like they said it's spam or whatever.
LA talk radio show, the show podcast, your comedy shows.
My podcast. Okay. And they said Razor Riffs is spam, and like, and now I can't post on Reddit. And I was like, wait, for a second, you guys can come to my shows, judge me by my comedy, and insult me on a internet forum. You know what I mean? Like, because I have autism, and people think that if you have autism, you're retarded.
Is there a thread on there where people are making fun of you?
Oh, yeah. So, like, you guys could allow that, and that's not spam. But if I say, hey, listen to me and my great interview with Greg Baronet about our great John Cusack movie.
I think what happens there is that's where the people go, I hate Greg Baron, I hate you, I hate this post.
Reddit has turned very trollish, very, very trollish. Keith called me, a month ago, and I was crying
because I was like attacked, and there was like I was threatened on Twitter, and then there was a Reddit thing, people saying I was a racist. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It. But do you see what I'm saying? None of it is useful. And,
yeah.
And
Reddit is just a forum. I think it's a forum for trolls.
I don't think any. I think 90% of what. Like, I think people are, like, so curious about how people feel about them and if they're doing well and if the numbers are up and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think it makes any – you know, when you go to a comedy club, half those people, they're not the same people. They're different people.
On your social media, you mean?
Yeah, I just don't know that it's a necessary thing. Like, I'm not – I don't ever see – the only thing I ever saw that had a ripple effect was the podcast. And other than that, my feeds are useless. And
are you on social media? All social media?
Yeah, in some form or another. You know, I usually use it to say the book's out or this is happening, you know. But I don't have a strong voice on there. I don't spend time crafting jokes for it. I like the one I like the most is Instagram because I do a 1 minute candy review.
Oh, that's
in
cool.
My attic. It's called Lonely Ghost Attic Stay at Home Candy Review Show, and it's really just about an old shut-in comedian who's angry at American candy and has a lot of opinions about candy. And is mad and very mad. I wish I just consulted.
Well, what's your opinion about mounds?
No.
Ugh, gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah,
no.
You don't like
that? No, my grandma died. We're good. We
don't Twix, Kit Kat.
Yeah, those are all decent. 100
grand.
Twix is good. The 100 grand is really good.
Yeah.
And Nestle's
no.
pretty good.
Mounds,
I don't care for Hershey at all.
You don't?
Hershey's is too boring.
I think their chocolate is garbage.
Yeah.
And then they've tried to make like a thing that's cream, like a cream. I don't even know what it is. I'm like, why don't you get good at chocolate first?
I feel like we're candy soulmates because I agree with everything you've said.
Yeah, I feel like they. I also feel like Reese's is so cynical. Like they're look, we put our candy inside of our candy. We eat it again. look what we did. We put the Reese's peanut butter pieces inside. Look, there's a cup inside of a cup. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it's like step up,
make
Hershey.
New, you know. Like, I go there, and there's 400. Like, if you make 400 Reese's choices, I'm going to just go get a Whatchamacallit, because that's all that is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've probably been suckered into eating Hershey accidentally, but I will. And the thing is, the Reese's peanut butter cup's perfect. It's perfect. Like, for whatever
the
reason,
original.
They got it right. The original.
Right.
And then after that, they played games with it, and you're like...
There's like pieces, Reese's pieces.
Right,
Reese's,
and
yeah, like
but when
many.
You put the pieces inside, and then you're trying to put that all in a thing that's all a cookie, and then when you make a cookie and you're trying to tell it it's a candy, it's like, go fuck yourself. Seriously, it's like.
That would be a great candy name. Go fuck yourself.
It's like you're asking
in a whisper.
You're asking me to eat Coachella. I don't know what all of this is. It's too much, and it's all happening outside. I don't care for it.
I think they had extra ingredients, and they're like, we need to do other stuff with this extra stuff.
But why don't they invent something? Why don't they? There's no pioneering. You know what I mean? They basically stick within their format, which I suppose makes sense. I don't know. I think because candy, it's sort of like the thing that happened with McDonald's, where it was like it was a hamburger place, and then people liked it.
Now it's like a Starbucks
place, and then it became and it just been fucking ribs and shit. You know where I like to get my pork? Most of my pork products. If I'm gonna have a nice rib, if I'm gonna make a rib choice, that's exactly where I'm gonna go. But I'd like it as a sandwich, and then with some weird onion on it, and so then they became this like sort of bad supermarket of shitty food, and then In-N-Out goes, well, you just make burgers, and people went, I like that. Just do the thing that you do well, and be specific and good. At it until it's perfect, and leave it there. But I don't.
So if you were to make your own candy, what would it be? Like just you?
I wouldn't go into it because then I'm not. I want candy is a thing that I want to be surprised by, and I want you to be good at it. You're in charge of it. Just don't blow it. Like when Skittles put spices in. Now they put spices in there.
Oh, that sounds gross.
Why would you? Why?
Right.
Who? Oh man, you know what I was hankering for? I love those strawberry Skittles, but if they had cumin in them, I could really knock my shit around. Oh, or any kind of like a paprika, or where are you going with that? Just so if it was hot. What if it was just oddly hot and not even the good hot, like the kind of hot that you go, this feels like I only ate part of a Mexican food recipe, but not the whole thing.
Yeah.
With a Skittle in it.
With a Skittle in it.
So do you think Charlie Bucket would have fucked up Willy Wonka?
Do I think Charlie Bucket?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean... They were constantly innovating candy to be different things. I think they would have become a sport drink company probably,
right?
Or like they would have gone into vitamins or whatever.
That's probably why Gene Wilder said no more sequels. We can't do movies about vitamins.
Yeah.
The vitamin man can.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of weird things happening. I feel like I think
very punny.
I think Willy Wonka gets out at the right time, because as soon as Charlie goes in, there's a lawsuit about the enslavement of Oompa Loompas.
Oh, that's
like
true.
People start investigating because now they've been inside and they've got plenty to say. Yeah. You know,
and all the lawsuits with all the kids, like that girl, whatever, like fell through the egg thing and
yeah.
The egg
well,
meter.
She deserved it though.
But you don't think her dad sued?
Farouk Assault.
Farouk Assault, yeah.
Daddy. Yeah. I want to go to the next daddy. Yeah. She, Augustus Gloop.
She was the one kid I did not like because she was just a bully. You know what I mean? Like the other ones, like they weren't, I mean, they weren't really, but they weren't bullies. You know what I mean?
They were all annoying.
Yeah, but Verroca was like...
Augustus was an addict.
Yeah, he was right?
Just... Chocolate addict.
Yeah, he was an addict.
He contaminated the whole chocolate, and then they kept eating it.
And the violet, the girl that liked gum was just looking for an identity, and then finally got one as a blueberry. Like,
exactly.
She was like, I'm the girl that chews gum, and I chew, you know, and like, yeah. I think you should probably find something else to hang your hat on.
And Mike TV.
And Mike TV just wanted to be in TV.
Yeah, and he was.
That's everybody in this town, yeah. I think, yeah. You know.
He just needed an agent instead of going to the shrinking machine.
Yeah, and Charlie Bucket just wanted to drink bubbles and float with Grandpa.
Yeah, that was weird.
He didn't even want to do that. That was more Grandpa's decision.
Yeah, Grandpa bullied him. He's like, come on, Charlie, no one's going to know.
Right?
Grandpa was a jerk.
They got to clean the machines.
It's like you haven't walked for 20 years. All of a sudden, you want to fly?
Yeah. But if without that, there's not that speech at the end, which is the greatest turn of a character when he reads him out for, you know, getting inside the machine when he goes, good day, sir. You know, that Willy Wonka speech is the best.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah, definitely. Do you think, because like I think I'm glad that I actually was talking about this the other day. I think the reason why Charlie Bucket is such a remarkable character is because the reason is he didn't care about the money or the chocolate. He gave Willy Wonka back the everlasting gobstopper. And that's what Willy Wonka realized, okay, this kid is the heart and soul of it. You know what I mean?
Right. He has no intention of taking it.
Exactly.
Giving it to, what's his name?
And I feel like, honestly, everyone who's seen that movie didn't realize that. You know what I mean?
That he gave back the thing.
Yeah. I feel like it was just a moment where Willy Wonka was just being Willy Wonka.
But right.
That was the moment where he realized he picked the right kid.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
I don't think he picked him yet until that moment.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
he didn't
pick him yet. I think that was just such a slight... And maybe I just noticed it because, like, I'm so fascinated with, like, when I watch a movie, I, like, watch everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, that's what I noticed. And
so the lesson is that everybody's going to fuck up.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to do something impulsive and fuck up. But if your good qualities outweigh your bad qualities, you get a chocolate factory.
Exactly.
With an elevator that goes sideways.
Exactly.
They never made the glass elevator, right? That's the second
movie. Yeah, yeah,
right? Have they ever made a glass elevator movie?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And I know why. It's because they didn't want the Vitamin Man.
Right. They didn't want it to turn into like...
The Vitamin Water.
I think we got to get into supplements, guys, because sugar's going to bum people out in a few years.
I think Greg's realizing this podcast has no point.
I've been circling that drain for a long time.
He's like, what time is it?
So, Greg, you have a new album coming out.
Which is weird to say, right? Because it's just a release. It's just a digital release.
Oh, it's a digital release.
You know, well, I don't have it. Who would I give a CD to? Who would just go, well, now this is a burden.
DreamWorks.
Oh, DreamWorks. Well, that's true.
Pitch it to the janitor.
Sure they'd love to go, what am I going to do with... you don't have anything to play this on? I mean, there's a couple of hip kids that have cassettes. If he'd put out a cassette, but nobody wants a Greg Behrendt cassette.
Yeah.
So it's on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reel it back in, Keith. Reel it back in.
No, I don't.
No, it'll be, Rooftop. So they're putting it out.
Is it stand up too? Or
it's just a stand up. It's a stand up record. It's just a, it's a,
oh,
it's
that's
a,
awesome.
It's a, from Minneapolis. Oh. I did it like,
what's it called? Acme?
From the Acme Comedy Club, yeah. And the album's called Why Are You In Here? And which is a from my act where I talk about how when having kids now, you're like, you gotta ask them a lot of questions and make sure they're okay and check in with them like you're in the fucking service industry. You're okay, you got everything you need. You got a backpack and a phone and you're only, and gender, you can have whatever one you want today. It doesn't even matter. And I can talk to you. I can back it up. It's just I need you to fill this out for my manager because we're running some specials. Anyway, anything I can get you, I just want, I'm Greg, and or whatever, you can call me. And here's a pin. Uh-huh. And fucking when I was a kid, right, nobody asked me how I was. How are you? You know, like that. The only thing people said was, why are you in here? Why are you in here? Get out. Yeah. Like, we were always sent out of... People were...
Go play.
Parents were just... Get out. Adults were just people that were perpetually annoyed and kind of not 100% sure why you were there. Like...
Exactly.
I knew we had you, but I didn't know it was going to be this. Like, being in rooms and shit. Yeah. Could you go out? I don't... I'm always just harried about you. And also, because we had no toys or, you know, there was like devices. Six toys. There was nothing to do. So you... But you were like, hey, let's put this knife in a couch. And they're like, fuck... You're like, I just want to see what it sounded like. Yeah. Go outside and fall off a tree or something.
Do you think when people ask you how you're doing it in today's world, like, do you think people actually care about the answer? Or do you think they, like, society is just so programmed to say, how are you doing?
I think parents are more aware.
No, I'm not talking about just
in
parents.
General,
but, yeah,
I think you know who cares and doesn't.
Yeah.
You know? And most people are just thinking of something to say. How's it going?
You know?
And sometimes you do. But I think most people, like, if you, you know... I think there's also an answer for a person that's not your deep best friend.
Right.
You know, like, how's it going? Oh, I don't know, man. I might have to have my hip replaced. Like, that's not for everybody. You know what I mean? How's it going? Good,
I'm
man.
Fine.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
fine.
Good. Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Two most harmful words, lies. Two biggest lies in the...
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Whenever someone asks me how they're doing, I just say, okay.
K. And then they're like, wait a minute. There's also a thing like with Snapchat where if you, how much of your face you show in it, like there's a whole, I don't know, I'm glad I'm not a teen.
I'm not on Snapchat. Yeah.
I try not to like.
Are you on Snapchat?
No. I let my wife be the like, it's sort of like coverage. My wife does the up close stuff, you know, and because also I have two girls, but my wife does the up close stuff and then I just hang back. I'm the guy that like, I knock before their door. Like I don't come in. I let them have all the. Well, also,
well,
like,
you should.
Just know,
it's respect.
You just
yeah.
know that, like, I'm somebody shouldn't ask you a question. Somebody should be the one that sort of like, if you want to tell me.
Oh, got it.
You know, like, I mean, I'm the like if one of them if they fuck up, they're gonna call me.
Right.
They're not gonna call Amira because Amira is too serious and too important, and I'm somebody that's like, oh yeah, Dad's blown it. Dad's made some super. I mean, he talks about it on stage. He tried to drive. He drove a car into the ocean. So he's not a.
He made a poor woman cry.
Yeah, he made. Yeah, yeah. For just
fuck you, in a whisper style.
Fuck you. You're the worst person. I've been doing this for. I go. I've been doing this for 20 years. This is the worst show that I've ever had.
Really?
I go, I'll bounce back, but these people here in the audience, the other people who you wrecked the night for, they should burn their fucking money in the parking lot. You are a beast.
Yeah. Have you ever seen her again?
I read your book.
I don't think she's ever left her house. They took her to a... No, I don't know. No, I haven't.
I'm single.
Yeah. Yeah. I read your book. I'm single. Yeah.
Why isn't he like me?
God. That is the unanswerable question. That's the one, you know, people go, what's wrong with me or what am I doing wrong or whatever. It's really hard to answer.
Well, see, I think like the best answer is like, cause I think, like I do comedy to like, you know, cheer people up and you know what I mean? Because I suffer from so much sadness and I don't want other people to suffer that. You know?
Yeah.
So like, that's why I do comedy. I think there's two different, like people call me an alternate comic. I don't think I'm, do you think I'm alternate? I don't know.
Like alternative?
Yeah.
No, I think you're very mainstream.
Yeah. So
your
like,
stand-up's very mainstream.
So like, I like to just cheer people up. You know what I mean? That's why I do comedy. And I think when people are so sad and they like do that stuff, I think that there's something wrong with them because they're not doing anything to cheer other people up.
Do you go to comedy? Are you a comedy fan?
Before I started stand-up, yes. I loved it.
And were you?
No, I didn't know anything about stand-up. I'd never watched stand-up.
I used to sneak into the improvs when I was like 15. And because they, do you remember the old Irvine where they had that door by the parking lot?
Yeah.
They always left that door open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you would sneak in?
And I would sneak in. And I saw you there one. I saw Kevin Nealon, you know, and like I just became so fascinated with comedy and how these guys were cheering this entire venue. You know,
that's people, so interesting.
You know what I mean? So... And I didn't have any friends, too, because, like, I have, you know, with my Asperger's, I'm very hard at, you know, socializing. So, like, I'd go by myself and just, you know, people ignored me, too. So
Well, it's easier for you to sneak in with you by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, no one even knew my presence. So, like, I would just study comedy. Mm-hmm. That's how I started, and I was like, I want to be like all these guys. You know what I mean?
Because, yeah, that's like, interesting.
Cheering everyone up.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have that experience, so I don't.
Were you not a comedy fan as well?
Well, you wanted to do music.
I was a I mean, I liked it. My parents were. I grew up in San Francisco, so my parents were a little bit before the Beatles, right? So they liked jazz and comedy.
Right.
You know, so they'd go see Ella Fitzgerald, but then they'd get to see Bob Newhart, and then they went out and they started just seeing comics at, like, the Hungry Eye and the Purple Onion in San Francisco, so they saw, you know, everyone from Lenny to Phyllis Diller, and they really liked it, and they had a lot of albums, they had a lot of comedy albums, and I liked it when I was a kid, and I loved Cosby, and I loved, you know, there were a lot of them, and I just, you know, but it was not my thing, you know, I didn't want to do it,
right.
You know, I liked it, but I didn't, but after I got an Aerosmith record, I'm like, well, I want to be a lady looking dude. Like, I want to, like, this is what I want to be. Yeah. Like, I really, like, that was it. And so it never, throughout the 80s and stuff, it just seemed, I was so narrow-minded and focused on what was cool. And so comics were like, man, I don't know. I remember I was like, a bunch of guys were going to go see Jay Leno when I was in college. I was like, ugh. You know, I saw Brad Garrett in a bar and I walked out. You know? And then I mean, I say this not because they're bad, but because that's who I was, you know?
Right.
If you weren't the Replacements, I was like, I don't even understand what we're doing with our time or why I'm not on ecstasy running through a graveyard. Like, that's what I want to do, skateboard or whatever. And that all sounds much cooler than it was. I wasn't great at any of it. So I just didn't, I had it in a compartment in my head. And then I saw a guy named Jake Johansson.
Oh my God. Stand up. I love
and at
Jake.
The time, he looked almost exactly like Elvis Costello. He was just incredibly timely, cool, hip, and different. And his stand up was sort of odd and disjointed. And it blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly went, oh wow, that might be a cool thing to do.
He was supposed to play Kramer on Seinfeld.
What's that?
He was supposed to play Kramer on Seinfeld.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. And he passed it up. Yeah, and he would have been great, but it just was so that was my thing. And
so that's what drew you into comedy.
A little bit, yeah. And then also people would always say, you should do it. And I'd be like, no. And then eventually I was like, I'm out of options. I'm fucking waiting tables. I'm in a shitty band.
And my mom sure,
said,
why not?
My mom told me to go in. She told me to go audition for an improv group, and I did, and they were called Crash and Burn. And Margaret Cho was in the group. And
I bet she burned a lot.
She that's terrible. The whole group was my daughter did some improv the other day. She's 16. She did a UCB intensive for a week.
Oh, that's cool.
She was unreal. I blew my mind. But I mean, she was better than our whole group was ever the entire time as adults.
Oh, wow.
But we just weren't that good. But Margaret said, you should try stand-up. You really should.
Yeah.
So I went and did it. And then there was no looking back.
Oh. You
know, I really liked it. And I didn't know. I don't think I would have done as well if I had studied it, because I would have been too intimidated by, you know, my approach to it was really like just gut level, like I hope this works and maybe it will and I'll figure it out. But if I watch too much, I will copy.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll go, nah, I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
You know.
We got the light, which means we have 3 minutes or
okay.
something. But we had a lot of Twitter questions, but I had one that I actually thought was really funny. This is from Pink Puff Girly 4628. It said, Greg, out of all your hairstyles, which one was your favorite?
Oh, that's a good one. I really actually like the blue. I like the blue mohawk I had not that long ago. I had a straight up mohawk. In my 50s. I grew up the time I was 50. I like that one.
You look pretty good.
I've seen some.
50.
I've had a couple of mullets. I've had some. Yeah, I had some bad Duran Duran hair when I was.
Well, a lot of people know you for your hairstyles.
My hair is always there.
Yeah.
My hair always makes it. And I just looked at album cover pictures, and people are like, "I like your hair in this one." I'm like, "How about the record?" Look, it's a gesture.
Was that funny?
It's a gesture. You're doing that. You're doing your thing.
We should get Greg at the Rec Room. I think he'd have a blast.
Oh,
what
yeah.
is that?
It's a new comic club in Huntington Beach.
It's like 150 people, 200
people. It
fits
150
people.
That sounds great.
You want to do it?
Yeah, low ceilings?
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you a picture after.
Let me know. I'd love to do it.
Oh, awesome,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're running out of time. Rosie, do you have anything you want to plug?
Just my social media. Follow me on Twitter @FunnyRosie. and on Facebook at Funny Rosie.
All right, and tweet her to so we could ruin your marriage. It would be great.
Oh yeah, let me just say really quickly that Why Are You In Here comes out the second week of July, and How to Keep Your Marriage from Sucking comes out July 17th as well, and then we have another book coming out in January of 19 called We Used to Be in Love and Now We Work Here.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, wow. That's it.
And then we have a movie we're going to pitch.
She's just not that into you.
Starring John Cusack as a man with Asperger's who just keeps asking the same girl the same question every day, even though that's not really what Asperger's is. But we're also, even though we have somebody who has it, we're going to do the stereotype version. Yeah. It's just hilarious.
Exactly.
Not realizing that everybody, that Revenge of the Nerds is just about people on the spectrum. When you go back and look at those movies, you go, oh, those are all mannerisms of people on the spectrum, and now we're just making fun of them.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. Think about that.
And the date rape scene.
I
didn't see that, but no, I totally agree, because Hollywood likes to, they totally like to, it's not really complimenting them, it's more insulting them.
Well, when you think about it, it's just a stereotype. You got a guy with a pen protector who has to say the same thing over and over and over again and dresses a certain way and has to have certain things, and then you make different versions of that, and all you're doing is seizing on an attribute that people have when they have some sort of, something on whatever on the spectrum, I suppose.
Yeah. I should make it clear that in She's Not Into You, he gets the girl.
Oh.
Just so, yeah.
Surprise ending.
Yeah, surprise ending.
I think he shouldn't get the girl. Oh. That's the mistake they made. Anyway, you got to end your show.
All right, great. That was awesome, man. If you guys like the show, subscribe on iTunes, rate and review, because we need the love. Greg, thank you so much for doing it, man. It was real awesome.
Dude, it was awesome. Yay! Thank you, bro.
And Rosie, thanks for stepping in for Alan Lee.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, that was awesome. All right, I should end the show. And thanks to the caller who called.
And hung up.
Yeah, man. Look, it's a game of inches, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
First you make the call. That's all right. Hang up the phone. You did it. Come back tomorrow. It's a progress. So next time if you call, just say hello. You don't got to stay in the conversation. You can hang up right after that. But piece by piece, you'll get this thing.
I never had calls, so I thought that's what you say. Because I used to learn from Larry King, you're on the air. So I did that.
Again. Yeah. Well, that's a nervous making for some people. They're like, oh, I didn't know I was going to be on the air. I thought this was a podcast. They don't know.
All right, guys. That was awesome, man.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.